It's a new day at Second Baptist. It's a new day. Do you know what a new day means? What do y'all think of when you think of a new day?
Start over.
Start over. A do-over. Don't we all wish we had some do-overs in our lives? Haven't there been decisions that we've made, places we've gone, things we've done, that you'd really like to have a do-over? That you'd really like to have an opportunity to say, ooh, can we do that again? Well, we get to do it again. It's a new day. Now, we started this new day idea at the beginning of January when we started to really hammer on the idea that we need to grow the church, that we need to do things that would grow the church, that would bring people into the fold, that would bring people to salvation, that would bring people to discipleship, that would bring people to join this church and start growing it, regrowing it from the bottom up. And we did a lot of planning, some of that planning to begin to do that, and then all of a sudden this COVID thing come along and kind of shut everything down. Well, it shut everything down for everybody. There's no churches that are meeting. Very few of them are meeting today. Most, a lot of them are doing it online. Oakdale's doing it online. But Joey's a natural for that video thing. So he loves that video thing. So. And they're having good results from that. I spoke to a guy at the dump yesterday who goes to Catawba, and they've been doing online. And they've had good success as well with attendance, virtual attendance and everything, and keeping the congregation involved. So people have been creative and done some things, but it kind of put a stymie on growth. So we need to refocus ourselves on the idea that this church must grow. We must add to our number. We must carry out the Great Commission. That is what our job is. That's what we're called to. That's what we're supposed to do. So I thought this morning that we would go over a very well-known song to get you in the mood. I want to get you in the mood to do something special. I want to get you in the mood to maybe crawl out of your comfort zone a little bit and to do some things that you wouldn't normally do. And so I figured a good way to start is with Psalm 103. Now, is it going to wake up? There it is. There you go. Isn't this a very familiar passage to you? Psalm 103. You should memorize this one. In fact, if you know the song, you have memorized some of it. Okay? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Spurgeon wrote in his commentary on the book of Psalms, and particularly Psalms 103, he describes the psalm as an apple tree among the trees of the wood, and its golden fruit has a flavor such as no fruit ever bears unless it has been ripened in the full sunshine of mercy. That's a pretty good description of what we read here. He always also says this: there is simply too much in this psalm for 1,000 pens to write. It is one of those all-comprehending scriptures which is the Bible in itself. And it might alone almost suffice for the hymn book of the church. Now, that's a pretty good statement, isn't it? This psalm echoes what David felt about the God that he served. Think about David for a moment. Here we have a shepherd boy that becomes king. Here we have a shepherd boy that goes on the field of battle and takes out Goliath. Here we have a shepherd boy that took on the lion, took on the wolf, took on the bear, and succeeded. Here we have a shepherd boy that was committed to God and believed God and trusted God. Here we had a man that in the end turned out to be just a man. And he fell. And he failed. and he caused man to be murdered. He took another man's wife for his own. He committed adultery. He committed murder. These are sins that are on the top list. These are on the top 10 list. And David was guilty of these sins. So in his deepest degradation, in his deepest self mutilation, if you will, he found mercy from his God. This psalm was supposedly penned late in David's years, when all of this stuff that he had done, all the sin he had committed, was behind him. And all the blessings of God had convinced him that his mercy was inexhaustible, and that God loved him in spite of his sin. Did it mean that he no longer needed to be sorrowful for his sin? No. He still wished he had a do-over. He still wished he could go back and not do those things. But that mercy of God allowed him to come back to a place where he could write down a song that would bless us all the way down through the ages. So these are David's words when he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me." David did not think for a moment that he was strong enough, powerful enough to do anything for God. Right? Usually when you say, like, if I blessed Miss Genevieve, I might give her a gift. I'd give her something. Like if I blessed her with $100. If I just handed Miss Genevieve $100 and said, "Here, I'm blessing you today." That's not the context in which David is thinking here. He can't bless God in that respect because God has everything. God is everything. But what can he do? What can we give God? What can David give God that God doesn't have? Us. So when David is saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," he's saying, "Bless God. I'm giving myself to God. I'm praising him for what he's done. I'm thankful right down to the bone for all that he's done for me. I am praising God. I'm blessing God. I'm thanking God. I am showing God that I love him. And I'm so grateful for everything that he has done for me." So we can bless God, can't we? And the thing about David is that he's showing us here is that it's a choice. Okay, it's like he's talking to himself. Has anybody in here ever talked to themselves? If you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. Right? Has anybody ever talked to themselves? You know, you only have to worry when you answer yourself, right? Matt talks to herself all the time. Drives me nuts. We share the same office while she's home working, and she's over there just jabbering to herself, trying to figure out a problem in her programming. And she's just jabbering to herself. Drives me crazy, but that's the way she deals with it. That's the way she copes with it. She's talking to herself. David is talking to himself here. He's saying, "Okay, so bless God. Praise God. Thank God with all that is within you. With everything that you have, with all your earthly belongings, with all your emotion, with all your strength, with all your love, with all your admiration, with everything that you can muster, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Do you know his name is the only name that's truly holy? His name is holy. Ours isn't. When people say Mark Bradley, they don't think holy. Careful. Don't say nothing. You just be quiet over there. They don't think holy. They just think a person. But when you say God, it's holy. It's righteous. It's perfection. It's love. It's mercy. It's kindness. It's everything that we want to be, that we long to be, and that we need to be. Spurgeon also said this. He said, "Let others murmur, but do thou bless. Let others bless themselves and their idols, but do thou bless the Lord. Let others use only their tongues, but as for me, I will cry out, bless the Lord, O my soul. The idea is really getting into it. Getting into it. Like when you play the right music, you get into it. Now, if you play the Eagles playing Hotel California, Lindsay and I will get into it. We'll sing that song right on the radio. It's like getting into blessing the Lord, getting into praising God, getting into thanking God and worshiping God. It's not just sitting there like a lump on a log and saying, yeah, God is so good. We say it like it's a death sentence. We say it like we don't really believe it. You know, I love the Gamecock football team. I love Gamecock all sports teams. I remember, I watched it the other night. It was on the SEC Network. It was the final game of the 2011 Baseball World Championship. And the Gamecocks were playing, and it came down to the ninth inning, they got a miracle hit to take the lead and won the game. They won the championship. And I was hollering just like you, happy life. Why? Because I get into it. It's more than just an event. It's more than just a happening for me. It's something that I really get into. And I shout for him even when it's a 9-year-old tape. Is that the way you do with the Lord? Is that what you do with the Lord? David is sitting here saying, just being myself and just thanking God as a normal course of events, like we say the blessings sometimes before a meal. I mean, it's just, it's just part of life. And David's sitting there saying that that's not sufficient for God. That's not enough. What we need to do, instead of just saying, well, thank you, Jesus, appreciate it, we need to say, whoa, man, thank you, Jesus. Woo-hoo, I can't stand it anymore. Do you understand the difference between being lost and being saved? I was listening to the local station 100.1 here on the radio this morning for a few minutes, and there was a lady preacher on there. She was obviously African-American preacher on there. You could tell just by her voice. But she was on the radio talking, and she said, at the end of her little talk, she said, now look, folks, if you want to go to heaven, all you have to do is ask Jesus to come in your heart. And she gave a very short but profound message of salvation, and she led people on the radio. Now, if you want to pray this prayer, pray this prayer. And she led them in salvation prayer, and then she got excited about it. Woo! Wow! Man, maybe somebody got saved today. Maybe somebody turned loose of their sinful life and came to know Jesus. Wow, this is fantastic. Do you understand the difference between hell and heaven? You gotta get excited over that part, don't you? That's better than the Gamecocks scoring a touchdown, right? You guys are not with it this morning. A commentator by the name of Morgan made this observation. The one value of these opening words is that they show us that worship is not involuntary or automatic. Our worship to God is not something that just happens automatically because we are who we are, or because we become a Christian. It is something that has to be intentional. It's something that we have to make ourselves do. We have to make ourselves worship the Holy God. We have to make ourselves thank Him. We have to make ourselves, but we should be so ed up with the desire to want to that shouldn't be a problem. He goes on to say, it calls for the coordination of all of our powers and strength. We need to focus on worship. The sanctuary is not a lounge or a place of relaxation. Did you know that? This sanctuary is not a lounge. It is not a place of relaxation. When we come in here, we should get fired up. We should enter it. He goes on to say, we should enter it with all the powers of personality arrested, arranged, and dedicated. Then we may render a service of praise that is worthy and acceptable to God. What is acceptable to God in our worship? What should we be doing in this room at this time that would be pleasing and acceptable to God? That's how we measure our worship. How do we sing a song?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Can you hurry that up a little bit? Oh. We're going to sing all the verses? Oh! Would that be acceptable to him? Is that a good thing? That wouldn't even be acceptable to you, would it? You should be saying like, amazing grace. I shouldn't even be able to hear myself think up here when you're singing it. You should be singing so loud and so forceful and focused on each word. Amazing grace, how sweet. Saved a wretch like me. I'm forgiven. Not only am I forgiven of my sins so I can go to heaven, but I am forgiven of my sins so I can live abundantly while I'm here, right here on this earth. Just like that song, the second song we sang, Precious, what's the name? What's the name of it? He is so precious to me. It says, it's joyful enough that right here on this earth we can have a taste of heaven. Does that mean that the obstacles like COVID are going to stop coming up now? Those things are going to happen. Does it mean that death is eradicated in our lives now? Does it mean that sickness is eradicated now? Does it mean that suffering is eradicated now? Does it mean that we're never going to get sad again now? But we're still going to have a taste of heaven in that He will provide us a way through every obstacle, every problem, every conflict that we come across. He will provide us comfort in our loss. He will provide us healing of our body. We cannot forget the benefits of God. We can't forget what He has done for us. I am going to make it through another couple of verses before we get. I got time. And you haven't listened in quite a while, so. Verse 3. Listen to who God is. Oh, but wait a minute. One thing I wanted to do before I start those verses. I just turned my notes over and this was on the page with these verses instead of the other verses. I want to tell you a story about Andy Griffith. Y'all watch the Andy Griffith Show and I refer to it all the time because we watch it all the time. We watch it all the time in our household. Mom and Dad, Daddy is addicted to it. He just watches it all the time. All right, now watch this. Remember the episode where Andy saved Gomer's life, so supposedly. Gomer was asleep at the gas station. Andy walked in, and there was a fire in the rag bin, and it was smoldering. And Andy put the fire out. He saved Gomer's life. Now, Gomer's reaction to Andy saving his life is how we're supposed to react to God saving our soul. You know what Gomer did? Gomer did everything for Andy. He cut up wood for the fireplace and filled the entire living room with wood and the entire porch with wood. He had cords and cords and cords of wood stacked up for Andy. He put on Andy's coat. He got his car ready. He did everything. He waited on Andy hand and foot and drove Andy slap crazy. That's the way we're supposed to do God. Could you ever imagine yourself being irritating to God? Crazy that you're just irritating to God? Can you imagine God getting to the point where I got to figure out something to get rid of that Mark Bradley? He's just driving me nuts! Could never do that, could we? But that's the attitude that we should have because He did save us. Because He did forgive us. Because he did have mercy on us. Because there's no limit to his mercy. That's the way we should react. It's as if somebody saved your physical life and you wanted to do everything in your life to repay them for that favor. Repay them for that blessing. Shouldn't we feel that way about God? He did save my life. He did save my soul. And we should just be all over that. We should just be so wrapped up in it we can't stand it. We should irritate him to death. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Who we worship matters. And David is simply telling us, reminding us, who we worship. Who is this God that we worship? Who is this power that we worship? I didn't write about it in the newsletter. Do y'all want me to keep doing those newsletters?
Of course.
I'll keep doing it. I didn't write about this in the newsletter, but I heard something the other day. You remember the article I wrote about how Cuomo said that we've flattened the curve, but that wasn't because of God? He made that comment. Well, I heard another guy, and I can't remember his name now, but I heard another guy get on there and say, if we're going to make it through this COVID-19, it won't be because of some God, some nebulous God that's out there that people tend to believe in. It won't be because of him. I'd have been scared of lightning storm about that time if I'd have said that. You know? Who is this God? Well, first of all, he's the God that forgave you of all your iniquities. All of us have fallen short. That's what that lady on the radio this morning said. She said, we've all fallen short of the glory. We are all failures. We are all sinners. Nobody is perfect. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And we all have iniquity in our heart. We all have sin in our heart. We all need forgiveness. And the person we worship, this God that we worship, is the only God, the only power that can provide that forgiveness. And what an amazing gift it is to be able to be forgiven of your sins. When I do something stupid, when I do something bad, I need Mac to forgive me of that. When I do something stupid, when I forget something, when I do something wrong, or I pick up something I ain't supposed to pick up, or put down something I ain't supposed to put down, and I don't do that very often, do I? Mac? I can't see your smile. She's got it covered up. But she forgives me. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. If we forgive each other, then we're thankful for that forgiveness. We should be thankful and worship God because he has forgiven us of our sin. He heals our diseases. Now, there's a whole argument back and forth between commentators as to whether this means the disease that is a result of sin, as in not a physical disease, but a spiritual disease, the disease, the punishment of sin that ultimately is revealed in hell. But I kind of side toward the commentators that believe that David is talking about physical illnesses here. He's talking about physical diseases. Now, we know that Beverly has cancer. Now, we know that there is a cure for that in human terms, and those things will be done to help her through this. But we cannot forget that God is in charge of it all, and he can heal amazingly, miraculously. He can make things happen that the doctors can't make happen. And Betty back there is a walking testimony to that, is she not? I wish I would have known her when she was going through all of that bout with cancer and all the surgeries that she had to endure and all the treatment she had to endure. She shouldn't be here today, except for God's mercy. And why? David recognized that mercy. He said, he healeth all thy diseases. He heals it. Now, sometimes he heals diseases in a way that kind of makes the rest of us sorrowful. Sometimes he heals the disease because he allows the person to pass away and pass on into eternity with him in heaven. But isn't that just as much of a healing? Listen to that. Wow. He's a pretty neat God to worship, isn't he? He goes on to say, he redeems my life from destruction, not only from hell in the hereafter, but from the destruction here. Sometimes God will take away the consequences of our sin. Sometimes he won't. But sometimes he will just save us from destruction. He will save us from ourselves. Have you ever had God cause you to turn right instead of left on the road? Have you ever come to an intersection and you know, I've pointed this out to you before, and you get down to the end of Marshall Road, I can go left to go to the bylaw, or I can go right to go to the bylaw. So which one should I do today? Well, have you ever had God tell you, go right, and you're starting to turn left, and you say, go right, go right, go right. And finally you go right, and then you hear in the news that there was a huge accident to your left. You ever had that happen? It could. Because he knows the future, does he not? He knows what's going to happen. He knows what could happen. He knows what will happen if we don't react to his words of warning. So he will save us from physical destruction, and he will save us from spiritual destruction. He crowneth our lives with loving kindness and tender mercies. He not only gives us tender mercies, displays to us a loving kindness that passes understanding, but he creates within us the capability to give that same loving kindness and tender mercy to others. So that when somebody comes up and slaps you in the face, you can turn the other cheek. That's a hard thing to do. Right, Jimmy? That's hard, ain't it? Somebody, if I came back here and slapped you in the face, would you turn your other cheek? And probably not, see? At least he's honest. I'd probably be getting up off the floor, wouldn't I, Jim? Do you understand? He not only gives us those characteristics, let me rephrase that. He not only displays those characteristics to us, but he gives us those characteristics in our heart so that we become an example of his love for others, his love for us, as we deal with others. He lives through us. We take on his characteristics. We take on his love, his mercy, his grace, his loving kindness. We take on those attributes. He satisfies thy mouth with good things. He gives us good things. He blesses us with good things. Boy, the church was blessed financially during this time, wasn't it? Wow! It's amazing what God can do. I was telling somebody the other day, they asked, I can't remember who it was now, but they asked me if we ever got an elevator in. I said, no, but we got a lift. Yeah, and I said, not only did we get a lift, but we didn't pay one thin dime for it. Not one thin dime. How'd you do that? I said, well, God blessed us. Through Cannon Mills. We got it all. And then some, right, Joy? It's amazing. God blesses us with good things. He brings to us good stuff. So that we are renewed in like the strength of an eagle. I put a picture of an eagle up here. See how that eagle is soaring? I want you to look at something interesting about that eagle in closing today. Look very carefully at the face of the eagle. I wish I had blown it up. I should have blown it up. Look at the face of the eagle. Can you see the face of the eagle? That eagle is focused. That eagle has got a laser focus. You know, that eagle can be thousands of feet in the air and can see the movement of a very small animal on the surface of the earth. Or he can see salmon. Have you ever seen one pick up a salmon before? I watched a nature show one time, and an eagle swooped down to get a salmon out of the water, and the salmon was too big for him to get up, so he just went down in the water with the salmon, and he drug it to shore. He was able to see that salmon underneath the surface of the water from way up there. Laser focus. That eagle's laser focus. Isn't that what God wants us to be? Well, what do you mean laser focused? Well, aren't we supposed to be laser focused on worshiping Him? Aren't we supposed to be laser focused on doing what He wants us to do? Aren't we supposed to be laser focused on carrying out the Great Commission of God, not only in our church, but in our lives? Aren't we supposed to be laser focused on doing the things that God would have us to do and not allowing ourselves to be distracted? That eagle is not being distracted. He's got his eye focused. And there's nothing but strength in his face. He's soaring on the wind. Can you see the wind? The wind's an invisible force, isn't it? He's soaring on the wind. We can soar on the wind of the Holy Spirit. We can soar on God's wind. And we can spread our wings, and God's wind will carry us. And with our focused, laser-focused eyes, we can see the things that God needs for us to do. And we need to go and get it done. An eagle is very, very strong for its size. And it's the perfect illustration of how we are to live our lives in Christ. Laser focused, strong, reliant on the Holy Spirit's wind to carry us. Without the wind, that eagle doesn't soar. Think about for a moment how David must have felt as he was writing this song. All the failures that he had done in his life. I'll bet that he was just thrilled to know that through it all, he could still praise the holy God that saved him. In his later years in life, I wonder how much time he spent just worshiping God. Just loving on the God that saved him. He had to deal with the ramifications of his sin. He wasn't permitted to build the temple. He wasn't permitted to do some of the things that God had really wanted him to accomplish. He had to deal with the guilt. He had to deal with the sorrow. But in the end, he knew who saved him, and he knew how to worship. Back where he leads, we'll follow.